back to Nuclear Heat with your host, Jake Bakoven, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Once again, I am Jake Bakoven, and this is Nuclear Heat on 93.7 The Ticket. The big voice said it. I had to say it, too, just to make us... Just make me feel better, I suppose, about it. He is Augie Pena, our Nuclear Heat contributor. And we do this every week. We look at the WWE Week in Review. We just reviewed SmackDown, and now we will move on to Raw. Of course, the three-hour program of the two. So a little bit more to talk about there sometimes. Sometimes takes us two segments. We'll see what we can do. We might have enough time to get through it all. Usually we take, we'll probably talk about Ketana Chance and Caden Carter, I think, tonight will be what we get caught on. No, probably not. WWE Raw opened last night with Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins opening up to, of course, respond to the Bloodline, who issued the challenge. This was a good promo. I think they're doing a great job of having at least one side or the other on both shows. We'll see them collide now coming up on SmackDown on Friday. This was just kind of repeat sort of stuff. Yeah. It was a chance for Seth Rollins to announce that he is officially ready and able to fight. He says he didn't want to say The Rock, didn't want to see the People's Champ, so he's calling him a Diarrhea Dwayne, which is some lowbrow humor. Not necessarily my type, cheap heat type of stuff. Yeah. I would say cheap heat, but it's not heat. It's getting over. Of course, the crowd started chanting Diarrhea. Again, there are moments in wrestling when you don't necessarily want your friend to walk in, your friend that doesn't watch wrestling, come in, and then you have to explain what's going on there. I thought that was one of those moments.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the promo overall, but what did you think about that specifically? Because I don't know. It's easy to get the crowd going, it's kind of like the big balls thing that Miz does. Yeah. It's just kind of like, this is like teenage humor.
It was a very cringe moment, and it was probably one of my least favorite Seth Rollins promos in general. Mm-hmm. I just didn't think he delivered. I thought it was very forced. Diarrhea, come on. I am a Rock
fan. Didn't really
fan
make
and,
any sense. It's,
no.
It's just like...
It's one of those, like, you know, it's one of those times when you get hit with a comeback and you have no idea what to respond with. So you're like, about you? You know, it's like one of those moments. And it's like very childish, very, like you said, you know, that's one of those, like, you know, I tell my friends, oh, listen to our podcast, you know, listen to our show all the time. I'm like, maybe, you know. Yeah, don't watch that part of the WWE there.
I think, and you might think that we're overdoing this because it is just sophomoric humor, and there's a lot of sophomoric humor, you know, crowd in wrestling that likes it, and so it's fine. It's just, you know, for the bigger picture here is you're building up this huge collision. Yeah. You want it to be very serious, and this is in the Seth Rollins inclusion into all of it is a bit of a mystery, and I want to see, is there a payoff? Is there a reason? Because if he's just going to be ho-hum backup for Cody, I don't know if that's necessarily worth involving him in all of this together and all together.
Although, they dropped something at the end there. Did you see that? The finger.
That's right,
yes. Because The Rock, you know, for you guys that know the Bloodline, they put up the ones, so they put up their one finger. The Rock has kind of been putting up like an L shape. He's letting his thumb out there, and Seth kind of mocked that, you know, kind of mentioned that. He put up the one had his had the L, the J type thing, and he stared at it, you know, so that, you know, they're kind of putting, sprinkling it in there, you know, could Seth, you know, be in the line with the Bloodline, you know, on there, you know, and he's mentioned the Shield, so, you know, it would be perfect if there was somewhat of a swerve there, you know, John Moxley comes back, you know,
now you're talking dirty to me.
Hey, you know, that's what really brings us in is those little details they put in, you know. I would say this segment wasn't like Cody is great on the mic, you know, the reaction, all that was fine. Them talking was fine. I don't like how Seth essentially just admitted he has a match with Drew McIntyre to main event one of the WrestleMania nights for the World Heavyweight Championship. And Seth Rollins in this segment essentially said, he did say, my main priority is the Bloodline, essentially saying, I don't care about my title match right now. And I don't like that because you're burying the World Heavyweight Championship, which they created to be on par with Roman Reigns title, and now the guy holding it is in a feud with Roman Reigns while he's supposed to be trying to defend that. So I agree, you know, it's unless there's a turn here, I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's they definitely have buried Seth's title, and while doing so, you wonder how much of this is in their mind and how much is just kind of week to week, because they've almost turned it now from like, okay, now let's make Drew, who is just like this sensible heel, like this evil guy that makes a lot of sense, and he does it once again with what they're going with now him basically saying that Seth isn't focusing enough on his title and putting enough of emphasis on his title. And that's kind of the overall complaint with putting Seth into this feud altogether. So they're kind of using what you could say is bad storytelling to turn it around and be part of the story.
Yeah, and, you know, to me, the payoff, Drew has to beat Seth Rollins. Because if they do anything else, this doesn't make sense. They are building up Drew McIntyre, as you said. He is running away with this. His heel turn is phenomenal. His mic work, everything he's doing, he is giving it all for that title. And then, as you said, you know, Seth, who's actually the champ, is just, he doesn't care about it right now, you know? So you're right. You know, it is good. It's just, it's bad because WWE does this sometimes. You know, Seth is a huge name still. They could keep that title on him, and then that just ruins everything. So it's, to me, that move is McIntyre has to just, you know, go in and not demolish. It's going to be a good match, but then you think about it, there's still Damian Priest out there, you know? So it's like you don't know what they're going to do. So I think, to me, McIntyre winning, you know, because he's taking this serious, has to be the payoff. But man, it's the WWE. They make you want to pull your hair out, you know, sometimes there too.
Yeah. So. And the other thing is, if you are going to have him involved in all this stuff too, it'd be a much better if you kind of brought him back to his roots, whether that be from the Shield, the Kingslayer run, he's with the Authority. I understand he's a face now, but something kind of rooting him back to that. And maybe they'll do that on WrestleMania night. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, maybe that's kind of the big edge and the big reason to have him all included in this. But it just, I get that the character is over, but the bright colors and the great fancy outfit and just laughing hysterically about this and that, like the song has got him over. I don't know if the character necessarily has.
Yeah, he's like the Joker, right? Like, I think that's who he kind of goes off of. And, you know, another thing I wanted to kind of just put out there is if this is a payoff, because if you go back, it kind of all starts on that in Las Vegas when they do the whole WrestleMania kickoff show. Seth is kind of still trying to be buddy-buddy with Roman. Roman's the one that throws the insult and starts calling him, you know, like the stepchild, you know, that secondary title nobody cares of. So to me, it wouldn't make sense if, I just don't know. You know, that's where it's like, you know, as someone like us, we really pay attention to those details. It just wouldn't make sense for a turn to happen there, especially after Roman's kind of been treating him like that. And I don't know. I agree with you. I tell you, I can't, Seth Rollins' outfits, just kind of what he says, how he acts is just not, I don't like it. I don't. But, you know, his song is really over. And when he's medically cleared, he's great in the ring. He is one of the best performers.
Yeah.
And he is a workhorse. You know, that's what got him injured there. But, man, I just think I'm kind of just ready for this to kind of – I really just want WrestleMania. I'm being impatient. Sorry, I can't – I shouldn't do that. We got to enjoy the moment, because before we know it, WrestleMania season is going to be over and we're going to be like, wow, you know, that went by fast. So just got to enjoy the ride.
Yeah, let's enjoy the ride and see where it goes. A lot of different ways that you know, every different fan would fantasy book a little bit different.
Yeah.
That's why a show like this is kind of fun. Brian T. texts in, I'm still old school and regularly wear my NWO shirts. The newer stuff doesn't catch me up in as quite as well. Fair enough. I mean, that was the peak time of wrestling. It's hard to convince or talk to somebody, because I was trying to like say it the other day, is that the stars of wrestling in that day, you could like go to school and people would know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure just in the general public, if even the biggest star, like a Roman Reigns, if you say his name, people know what you're talking about. That's why The Rock and Logan Paul and some of these big names that come in draw such big crowds and a lot of reaction coming into Raw. But you know, these days there's like YouTube streamers. You know, there's just so much competition that your WWE fans know of their top stars, but people outside of wrestling don't know who Gunther is, you know?
Yeah, no, and you know, like the NWO days and like the, you know, the 90s and all that, there was times where, you know, I don't know about you, but I pretty much watched whatever I wanted to, but even my mom would be like, what are you watching? You know, like, because you know, the blood and all that stuff they used to do. It was they were allowed to get away with more. You know, now they've gone into kind of that PG-13 era. I think that's kind of made it a little bit more cartoony for the kids, which, I mean, I still watch cartoons and stuff. But I don't see what's wrong with it. But, you know, that I think that kind of drew a lot of people away, you know, when they kind of went to that. And some people blame John Cena because he was kind of the face of it all. I don't. I think he did amazing, you know, for what he had. But, yeah, you know, I still, you know, find myself on YouTube watching some of those older matches from the 90s. You know, Mankind being thrown off that Hell in a Cell by The Undertaker. You know, the thumbtacks, all that stuff. It was a great time, Brian. So, you know, I'm glad you still have that shirt there, too. So.
Well, and back then, too, just the characters. I mean, the Mankinds, the Canes, the Undertakers, the Stings. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just do face paint and have all these different characters. And nowadays, it's hard to, like Ivar, it's like, what is that Viking doing on his off day? Is he still a Viking? Does he just go around and eat turkey legs all day? Or, you know, does he put a suit on? Yeah. Is he not a Viking?
And the funny thing is, real quick, since we talked about Sting at the beginning, one of my favorite things is Sting, you know, wore the face paint and all that stuff. My favorite meme that still goes around is like, when I say I'm going to change, but I don't, because Sting would always come in and wear a Sting mask. That's and you're right. Like, who is it? And it's Sting, it's Sting. I just had to bring that up because that just brought in that just brings so much joy to me to watch those. It's the funniest thing.
Let's go move on to the next match in WWE Raw last night. Dominic Mysterio against Gunther. If this was placed on the card, I'm extremely interested in this. But even more interesting than just this match in particular, Raw in general was a night of heel versus heel and face versus face kind of interactions. Very different. And you wonder with kind of thinking about that Attitude Era where there was sometimes less like obvious heel. Like part of the Stone Cold's charm was that he wasn't, you know, your clean baby face heel. He's kind of a middle ground guy. Yeah. The Rock, you know, these guys could all kind of be good or bad guys depending on the night. You wonder with Vince now out of the picture if they're going to start going back toward that. I don't know. But this Raw kind of seemed that way, where Dominic Mysterio gets so booed, and Gunther is typically one of the most booed and disliked and mean just characters to the crowd.
Yeah.
Yet they kind of had to start cheering for him because they didn't have a choice because they all hate Dominic Mysterio. They kind of teased this as maybe to me, I would have capitalized on the heat that Mysterio gets. Try to build his credibility a little bit going into WrestleMania, and had this been the event, the main event for Gunther, I should say, for the Intercontinental title, because once again, Dominic Mysterio could gain a level by beating Gunther, whereas not everybody necessarily will, like Sami Zayn, and we'll get to it. They've got a Gauntlet IC title match coming up with all these different guys. There's certain guys, it's like, if Sami Zayn beats Gunther, it's kind of, you know, it gives him something for a second, but he already had his thing last year, and now you're directionless with him. So, you know, I just don't know. I don't feel like that's the way to go. They ultimately had a pretty good match. They told the story of Dominic Mysterio trying to get a chop fest with Gunther, which is not the way to probably go if you're the smaller man. Despite a very game Dominic Mysterio, he even got out of some of the pinfalls that I thought he was going to disappear in. Gunther ultimately gets the win. What are your kind of thoughts on how they went through this? And now they're setting up, I might as well say it because it's included in all this, is they're setting up the Gauntlet IC title between Sami Zayn, Shinsuke, JD McDonagh, who is now in charge from the Judgment Day and taking down Gunther. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's what they have. Bronson Reed, Ricochet, and Chad Gable of the Alpha Academy, who's not just doing it for the title, he's doing it for his daughter. you know, you've got kind of all that there. Again, I said this about Dominic Mysterio in Elimination Chamber. I'll say it about this Gauntlet IC title. Even if he didn't win, I think you'd be more interested with him in the picture than even JD McDonagh here.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. And, you know, he's got that heat, you know, that nuclear heat, legit. You can't hear him talk when he's out there. And I thought this match was great. It was hilarious because, one, Gunther was just being an absolute bully on Dominic. You know, he was chopping, he was doing everything, and I think even the announcers were like, he's just bullying him at this moment. There's a time in this match where Gunther had the pin and didn't.
That's right.
And he got up off the two count because he wanted to keep punishing him. So I thought this was great. And even with Dominic essentially getting beat the way he got beat last night, I still would have been like, oh, redemption. You know, like you could have him go and still beat Gunther, and it would just make it that much better because he got destroyed by him, you know, in a one-on-one on there. And man, this one broke me a little bit because I wanted it to be Dominic, and he's not even included in the six-man match. You know, he's not there. And funny thing, it comes a little bit later, but when, you know, all these men are talking to Adam Pearce to say why they should be in there, did you notice what they did to J.D. McDonough? What they did in there? So it's his time to talk. He's like, this is why I'm going to do it. It goes to black. Yeah, they cut him off. Yeah. Like 100%, they just give him that treatment to just show you. It was great. It was hilarious. legit, guys. They just cut him off. It goes to black. Yeah, it goes to commercial.
I do remember that now.
On there. But, man, Dominic Mysterio, he's great in the ring. He's really showing, you know, he's working hard. He's over. He's over in the right way, you know, whereas people love to boo him. And, man, if he doesn't have something in WrestleMania other than kind of being a sidekick, I think that's a big waste because he gets one of the biggest reactions. And, yes, it's boos, but that's what you want. You know, in the WWE, any reaction is great. Yeah. You don't want that dead silence, which, you know, J.D. McDonough, unfortunately, kind of gets. And he seems to be the guy that, you know, they're pushing in there, which is a little disappointing to me. Maybe Dominic, you know, finds his way back in here, but that was a great match. It was fun. It was a lot of fun to watch that. So, and I'm not even a Dominic Mysterio, you know, fan. So,
yeah, I am. And I think they probably got some sort of a, you know, involvement ready for him with Rhea Ripley that they're probably not going to pull him away from. So it was a fun match. And at least we had it, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I wanted to see it eventually. At least we got it. All right, let's take a quick break here. Again, this is Nuclear Heat on 93.7 The Ticket. Real quick break. We'll come back. We'll finish up Raw. And then we'll be back next week. So real quick break and we'll finish up Raw coming up next here on Nuclear Heat.
Back to Nuclear Heat with your host, Jake Bakoven, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We are back here on our WWE Weekend Review Show. Only got a few minutes left. Was just about a couple matches into Raw, so we'll pick up where we left off. To review, and before we get you out of here and ready to roll to our next program here on 93.7 The Ticket, we left off with probably the popcorn match of the night, but at least some sort of connection to what's coming down the line for Damage Control. Katana Chance and Caden Carter get their opportunity against Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler. Damage Control comes out along... all four of them now come out and kind of block the viewing, I suppose, of Michael Cole and the commentary team over there. Ultimately, this is how you think it would go. Stark and Baszler get the win, the confrontation with Damage Control, and they are setting up another heel versus heel match this time for the titles.
Yeah, and I was a little surprised because I thought Katana Chance and, what's her name? Her Caden, her partner. I thought they put on a good match. You know, I thought they were deserving of the win. I did not like how Zoe won that. It was a roll-up. But, you know, Damage Control, they have to set that up there. So I think we know who they're facing for WrestleMania. And I think it'll be good, you know, because Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler are credible. I think, they can pretty much beat up anybody. So I think it'll be a good match there.
Yeah, I'm interested in it. And I do. And myself, I kind of cheer for the heels. So the heel-on-heel matchup I'm looking forward to. Then we had Becky Lynch and Nia Jax. They had a short video package kind of retelling the storyline here as these are bitter rivals. Ultimately have Liv Morgan interfere on behalf of Becky Lynch, allowing her to get the win. This is kind of the same thing that happened with Becky getting into the matchup last week in starting to attack Nia Jax. So a little bit of payback and Liv with Liv Morgan. And now Becky and Liv were talking in the back and they set up a match for next week, a face versus face matchup.
Yeah. And I just want to point out your girl Nia Jax had like four different botches in this match. Did you see that the drop kick Becky hit that didn't even connect, but somehow Nia Jax fell through there? And oh my goodness, how about the Samoan drop kick that she did from there? I thought Becky was about to get decapitated from that thing. So you know, I was actually entertained with this. I thought it was fun. I like Liv Morgan. I don't like Nia Jax, but I thought, you know, the botches made it pretty funny there. On there. So it'll be interesting next Monday when they fight, because I know they have a pretty big following, the two of them. So I'm still curious to see what they're going to do there.
Yeah.
So.
Especially when it leads to, if you know, we all know where Becky Lynch is at toward WrestleMania. Is there any plan for Nia Jax and Liv Morgan on the Showcase of the Immortals? We'll have to wait and see. Then we have Andrade, fully equipped with his mask. Yeah. He looks pretty cool in his return from AEW. Take down Apollo Crews, which who knew he was still around?
I forgot.
This is a pretty quick squash match, too. Yeah. So no favors to Apollo Crews. I know he's been kicking it around on NXT, but this is all to highlight in Andrade, who has been seen routinely speaking Spanish, so I don't know what he's saying, but talking to Dominic Mysterio in the back. Would you like him eventually joining the Judgment Day?
I think that'd be cool. Yeah. I think that would be good because right now, you know, Andrade had a pretty hype return at the Royal Rumble too, and all that. And I know he's a very good wrestler, has a big following. So, you know, hey, with everything that might happen at WrestleMania, you know, you don't know what's going to happen there. They add him. Judgment Day is pretty solid.
Yeah, and I've heard, too, that, you know, ideas from other wrestling podcasters and media saying that the Judgment Day has been, they feel kind of stale, feel like, you mm-hmm. know, they wanted them to break up by now. I disagree, but I think what you could do, and you want to be careful with it, because eventually, you know, we get like the eighth version of NWO, yeah. and it's just, you know, it's not what it once was, but I think you could start to take members out, bring guys in for the next year. I mean, I think the faction is over so much that I don't think you want to break it up and then just build a new factions and try to get something else going. I think it's credible enough that, you know, maybe at some point they turn on Priest or you turn Priest babyface or something like that. And then you need Andrade or somebody else to come in and take his spot on Judgment Day. I think that would be a good idea. We'll see where they go creatively down the line. Judgment Day, for what it's worth, they did get their next matchup, defeating Imperium in a very hard-hitting matchup. Judgment Day basically had to win. This was another both tag teams were coming in. Another heel versus heel matchup for one, but another incident where it's almost a must-watch battle because both teams, they've been pushing lately. Yeah. Judgment Day, the title holders, they get the win. I thought they might go with Imperium to set up a championship match, but ultimately Judgment Day gets the win. Again, I don't know if this feels a little quick to take off some of the steam for Imperium just got with their long feud that they eventually won over one of the greatest tag teams of all time, the New Day. Was that all for this Raw, you know, matchup at 9:00?
Well, you know, it's weird because we thought this would be the WrestleMania matchup. You know, we thought, you know, Imperium versus Judgment Day, and I think that'd be amazing. And that's still what they look like they might be doing. But, yeah, it's kind of weird, you know, to give us kind of a sample. It was a good match, you know, a little bit of a teaser. So we'll have to see there. I still think this will be the WrestleMania match for Finn Balor and Damian Priest there. But we'll see. We'll see where they decide to go with that.
Yeah, and this their WWE 2K ratings did not do Imperium any favor because both of them are ranked like 70, 71. So that didn't do them any favors. So we don't have much time left, so we better go fairly quickly. Sami Zayn gets another win. They've been telling the story of him basically on a losing streak. Now he's on a winning streak, having beaten Ivar. Once again, the Viking. Ivar could always put on a good match, but there's a ceiling to his character. There's a ceiling to what he does. So Sami Zayn, definitely the right one to get over here. Mm-hmm. Anything to add to that?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Nope, not at all.
My only question is from there, is Sami Zayn enough for you? Oh, excuse me. I guess we'll hit that in a second because it'll save us 30 seconds. Is Sami Zayn enough for you if he wins this Intercontinental title match? Because as you run it down, again, the gauntlet match to face Gunther at WrestleMania is Sami Zayn, Shinsuke, JD McDonagh, Bronson Reed, Ricochet, and Chad Gable. I think out of the six, only Sami Zayn and Chad Gable make any sense whatsoever for a WrestleMania match. Is Zayn enough for you, or would you go Gable?
No, I'd go Gable 100%. He's got to do it for his daughter. He's got to do it for his
That's
daughter.
That's right, he
for
does.
Sure.
Yeah,
and Sami Zayn, his star is just down. So, no, there's no way.
Yeah, so that'll at least be interesting to see which of those two win. We finished up with Jey Uso versus Drew McIntyre. I'll let you explain what happened here because I get confused.
So what ended up happening here, great match was happening. Then all of a sudden, Solo Sikoa comes out very slowly. Looks like he's going to attack. Cody Rhodes come in for the save. So they start fighting. And then Jimmy comes in. So Jay's distracted. Jay turns around, takes a Claymore kick from Drew McIntyre for the 1-2-3. Drew McIntyre walks away. And then you got Jimmy coming in with a chair to attack his brother Jay. And then you get Seth freaking Rollins, very interesting, coming in for the save. And he runs right past Drew McIntyre at the entrance. And Drew McIntyre's kind of like, nah, you know, that's not happening. So Seth comes in for the save, gets Jimmy away, turns around, takes a Claymore from Drew. And then Drew's like, you know, you're disrespecting me. You're disrespecting the title, not even acknowledging, you know, our match and stuff like that. I thought it was good storytelling there at the end. That's how we're all ended there.
Yeah, so we'll see what they kind of do as far as I think that set up well. I had you do it because there was too many names, too many things going on right there, and we were on a time restriction there. So thank you for going through that.
Yep,
it's harder for me to slam through when there's like five different guys involved in it. But ultimately, just kind of interesting. I think Jay, they haven't given him enough of a reaction to the Jimmy beatdown.
Yeah.
I think that they should be adding to that feud. They're kind of doing it. That should be on fire. And then you've got Damian Priest with Rollins like closing out Raw dead in the middle of the ring, yeah, apparently not caring. Because hopefully at some point he doesn't cash in on
You forget he's got that cash
but it
in,
could,
you
right?
know?
Yeah, you would think that he would, for weeks on Raw, that was the only thing they'd highlight every week.
Yep.
So a little bit of inconsistency there, but we'll see. All in a good week of wrestling. We reviewed it now. We'll review it next week here on our WWE Week in Review show, Nuclear Heat. We'll see you guys next week.